It's just about 12 noon. The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we'll be hearing from representatives of the U.S. Army Field Band's Jazz Ambassadors and the U.S. Air Force Heartland of America Band's Brass in Blue. Both ensembles are going to be playing at the Eastern Illinois University Doudna Fine Arts Center this week, including the Jazz Ambassadors tonight at 7:30, and then the Brass in Blue on Sunday night at 7:30, both of them in the Dvorak Concert Hall, and both concerts are free. So lots of music from those groups and some good conversation on Live and Local. Stay tuned. I'm Kevin Kelly. We'll be right back. We just heard a tune called A Simple Shuffle from a CD called Prospects by the Jazz Ambassadors, sometimes called America's Big Band. They come from the U.S. Army Field Band. And they are going to be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tonight for a concert at 7:30. And they're also there for some clinics with the students there. I have on the phone with me Jeff Adams, who is one of the trombonists in the band, section leader. And are you sort of managing the tour also?
Yeah, my official title is road manager for the Jazz Ambassadors. So, yeah. I'm the point of contact between, basically between the band and the folks who sponsor our concerts. Make sure that everything goes off without a hitch.
And how did you get picked for that role?
Well, I had been the assistant road manager for 7 years. So I was the assistant to the previous road manager, and he was promoted and moved on to more important things within the organization, and I was able to step up to the plate and assume that role.
What could be more important than managing a tour?
Yeah, that's kind of my thought, too.
In the press release that I got about this concert, it says the mission of the U.S. Army Field Band is to, quote, carry into the grassroots of our country the story of our magnificent army, unquote. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, to put it maybe in better lay terms, we're out there putting basically a smiling face on a uniform in places in the country, which there's a very good chance that the folks in each of those towns, we may be the only uniformed person from the military they see in their entire life.
And do you think it might skew their impressions at all that you happen to be a musician, which isn't necessarily typical of what most people think of the Army, or does that just give a different point of view of the Army?
I think the goal is to help folks who may have a negative view of the military change their mind. All of us in the band are all active duty soldiers. In fact, that's a very frequent question that we receive from audience members and people who come to see the shows. They want to know if this really is our job, if we're really soldiers. And, yeah, every last one of us has to go through basic training. And when we're not outperforming, we're doing all of those other soldierly things that are expected of every soldier in the U.S. Army. So,
for example?
well, of course, keeping up with all of our training. Believe it or not, there's lots of paperwork that has to be done in the military. The quarterly evaluations for other soldiers, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like any other job, basically, other than the fact that there is that aspect of war that the military is involved in. So,
is it pretty unlikely, however, that somebody in the Jazz Ambassadors is going to get called into active combat?
Yes, actually, that is fairly unlikely. We have sister organizations. We have a concert band and chorus that tour together. We also have a top 40 group, a top 40 cover band called The Volunteers. And out of all of us who are part of the greater organization called the U.S. Army Field Band, the Volunteers are the only ones who've actually been over to what we reference as the Sandbox. They were over there last fall to perform for soldiers. Simply because of logistics, it's much easier to fly a smaller group of people in and have them do their job than it is to fly a 20-piece ensemble or a 60-piece ensemble. So.
The Sandbox, is that a reference to the desert?
Yeah, Afghanistan, Iraq.
That's kind of interesting. And when you joined, did you join the field band or did you just join the Army and then you got assigned to the field band, or how does that work?
Yeah, actually, this is a very common question as well. As with any of the special bands in the Department of Defense, whenever someone decides to leave, it's usually someone that is at the end of their career and they're retiring. When that occurs, we send out advertisements nationwide, and basically the focus is to try to find the best and the most phenomenal musician to replace that person anywhere in the country or anywhere we can find them in the country. And when I responded to one of those ads, this was back in 98, sent in a CD, Of course, now that I've been in the band for a number of years, we get a whole pile of CDs from all over the country. We listen to the people, look at their resumes after we've decided that we want to invite them in, and then they come for a live audition. And in all but very few cases, we hire folks who are civilians. And what happens then is they of course have had to pass through MEPS, and then they go on to basic training. And once they finish basic training, they come to the field band.
And there you are. And then you, the opening for, in your case was for the field band generally, or for the Jazz Ambassador specifically?
Oh no, very specifically for the chair that I sit in. I'm the jazz chair trombonist in the band, and that's the seat that I still occupy.
So it's just like a professional orchestra. If they have an opening, that's the one they're going to advertise for.
Very similar, very similar. In fact, when our concert band auditions people live, they do it in an almost identical fashion to how orchestras do it, where the first round is behind a screen so that the judges can't even see who the person is. They just hear.
But you didn't have to do it quite that way?
No, it's more difficult in a jazz band to do things in that fashion.
You kind of have to interact with everybody else, don't you?
Right. And basically, my audition was lasted for about an hour. The day that I came in, I was the only person that was in that day. And because it was a jazz chair position, they wanted to hear me improvise in pretty much any style imaginable that trombone could be required to improvise. So.
Well, and speaking of any style imaginable, you guys cover quite a wide repertory, including the blues. And I wanted to play from one of your CDs called The Legacy of Mary Lou Williams. And this is really dumb. I'm forgetting who Mary Lou Williams was.
Mary Lou Williams was quite a pioneer in the jazz field. Not only because she was a woman, but also because she was a phenomenal writer and a great pianist as well. But she spanned, her career pretty much spanned the entire history of jazz. And I think you're getting ready to play Big Jim Blues, which is a very, very early example. And some of the stuff from that album, which of course is available for free download on usarmyfieldband.com and jazzambassadors.com, stuff spans from very early to, you know, up until the later period right before she passed. Very, very versatile writer, and her writing style was always changing with the times.
Well, let's hear it. Big Jim Blues, the Jazz Ambassadors of the U.S. Army Field Band, from the disc called Legacy of Mary Lou Williams. And they're going to be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center tonight at 7:30. I'm talking with their section leader in the trombone section, Jeff Adams, and you're listening to Live and Local.
Thank you.
is Big Jim Blues from the disc The Legacy of Mary Lou Williams with the Jazz Ambassadors of the United States Army Field Band. They're going to be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's Live and Local, and my guest is Jeff Adams, who's in the trombone section, also
the road manager for the band.
Road manager. I gotta write that down.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, Kevin.
Well, it's sort of a fun show today as we're focusing on a couple of different military musical groups that are going to be in Charleston in the next few days. And I want to ask something specifically about you. I'm looking at your bio that is on the... It's great, actually, that the band member bios are all on your website.
Yeah, we recently upgraded the website and added all those.
Yeah, your list that you worked with performers, Lou Rawls, Tony Bennett, Kenny Rogers, lots of other folks, mm-hmm. was that before you've been in the Jazz Ambassadors or in the time you've been there?
The greater portion of them, yes, before. I'm a Southern California native and used to work a lot in the Palm Springs area. And, very vibrant scene out there.
So what was the sort of the arc of your career before you got in the Jazz Ambassadors? And then why did you decide to, what interested you about that job?
Excellent question. Let me jump back for 1 second, though, just in case you did catch most of Big Jim Blues. The trombone solo in there, that actually was me.
Oh, well, how convenient.
Yeah.
That was luck on my part.
Yeah, that was convenient. Yeah, arc of my career. And this is fairly common in the special bands I've found now that I've been in for quite a while. Many of the folks who win the auditions for slots in special bands tend to come to them a little bit later in their career just because, you know, you're waiting for people to retire. I actually started my undergrad degree at Berklee College of Music and kind of a culture shock situation. I only spent a year there and went back to Southern California.
That's a crazy place from what I hear.
Yeah. Well, going from the desert to Boston was the biggest issue for me. I loved Berklee. It was great. But, yeah, I just didn't like the climate and, you know, many other the aspects of living in Massachusetts. So, yeah, I finished up my undergrad at Long Beach State then under the tutelage of a gentleman named John Prince, who's since passed. John used to be a writer for the Tonight Show band when it was Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. And so we had a lot of great music. After school, I spent a little bit of time on cruise ships, which, obviously as a musician, tends to be the woodshed for a lot of pros that instead of what was the big band era, you know, the generation that preceded me, most of them out of college or even before college would get a job on a touring big band, and that was their woodshed. Most of us now tend to spend some time on cruise ships. And then, you know, got off the cruise ships, got married, had day jobs, still gigging, lost a day job, and that was the final impetus for me to say, hey, wait a minute, I can at least teach music. I come from a family of teachers, so went back to school and did my master's and my teaching credential and had been teaching for a little over 3 years when I finally won the audition for this particular band. The special bands, especially the special jazz bands, had always been on my radar. My high school band director, his college roommate, was in the Commodores. And he's actually I think he retired from the Commodores about 5 or 6 years ago. So he did a full career. He did about 35 years in the band. So I always knew about the special bands in D.C. despite growing up in Southern California and what a great career they could be. And I always kind of had my ear to the pavement. And anytime I heard of an opening, I would, you know, send in a recording. And the funny thing of the matter was, it wasn't until I was in my late 20s when the recording quality of the stuff that I was able to send in improved immensely that I finally started getting invited to come out. And believe it or not, the very first audition that I was able to attend was the one for the job that I currently hold. So I was able to win that one.
Well, belated congratulations.
Oh, well, thanks.
I wonder how many times that happens where your first audition is the one you win. You know, you try and try and try even to get one in the first place, and you must get incredibly discouraged, thinking that nobody even wants to have a look at you, and then all of a sudden, there you are.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very thankful that I didn't deal with that. Because we've seen that, though, since I've been in the band. You know, folks who who keep getting invited, and they just get edged out by somebody else. And I can't imagine their level of frustration.
You said that the openings usually come when when folks retire. I was looking at just the photo of the Jazz Ambassadors. It didn't exactly look like a bunch of people heading towards retirement. It looked like a fairly young bunch.
Right.
Did people just retire from the band early?
No. Actually, if you're looking at, especially at our sax section, I think the longest longevity in the sax section right now is 10 years. And then the next one after him is 7, and then the next one after him is 3. So we had 3 very senior members retire within the last 3 years from our saxophone section.
So senior members means how long?
The most longevity was, I think, 34 years.
That's a while.
And when that particular individual retired, he actually was the most senior sergeant major in the entire U.S. Army. He'd held the rank of sergeant major longer than anyone else.
And is that unusual because he didn't get a promotion, or I don't really know how the ranking system works.
Oh, no, a sergeant major is the penultimate rank in the NCO Corps, the non-commissioned officer corps. So when you look at pay grades, of course, the titles are different across the different branches of service. In the Navy, you're not called a sergeant major. You're called a senior master chief, if I remember correctly. But it's E9, and that's as high as you can go on the enlisted pay scale.
Hmm.
So, yeah, he'd been an E9 since 89 when he retired.
That sounds like an accomplishment to me.
Yeah.
You've said referenced several times the special bands.
Mm-hmm.
As what are other special bands, and as opposed to what?
Okay, very good question, Ian. Yeah, I'm sure this will be very helpful for the listeners as well. There are 2 tiers of bands in the Department of Defense. The bands that are in D.C., of course, there's the Navy Band, the U.S. Army Band, the Air Force Band, and the President's Own Marine Band, and then, of course, ourselves, the U.S. Army Field Band, all considered to be special bands. Very close to D.C. is also the Naval Academy Band. They're a special band. The Academy Band at West Point in New York is a special band, as is the Air Force Academy Band in Colorado Springs. And the Coast Guard has a band in Connecticut that is also considered a special band. Any band that I didn't just list is not in that same tier. They're basically a line band, and they're assigned to their local base. And, you know, they work for the general that's in charge of that base or post. Very similar, though, with the folks that are in D.C., they all work for the Military District of Washington. We're actually the exception out of all the special bands. In fact, out of all the bands in the entire Department of Defense, we're the only band who works for the Office of the Chief of Public Affairs at the Pentagon. So, the one really defining characteristic between special bands and then what we call line bands is when you win a slot for a special band, even to get invited to an audition, you pretty much have to be a professional musician already. And because of that advanced level of training that you bring to the table, once you complete basic training and you hit your 4th month of service, you're automatically promoted to E6, which in the Army, that's the rank of staff sergeant.
And you are now Sergeant First Class.
I'm a Sergeant First Class, yes.
So where are you in the...
That's E7.
That's E7. Yeah. And you said the other fellow who retired was E9.
Mm-hmm.
So you got about 20 years to go, right?
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the next promotion I will get selected for E8.
Well, hope you do. Jeff, it's great to talk to you. It's the Jazz Ambassadors of the U.S. Army Field Band. They're going to be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston with a concert tonight at 7:30. And I neglected to ask you about the clinics that you're doing today. You're going to be working with some of the students at Eastern?
Yes, we are. One of us from the trombone section, also trumpet, saxophone, and a rhythm section representative, and myself, I'll be working with some of the vocalists there at the college. We'll be, you know, just doing a fairly quick clinic, about 45 minutes in the afternoon.
And I see that three of the Eastern Illinois University students are actually going to be playing with you for one of the tunes on the concert.
Yeah, they will. And that's a surprise, though. So we'll keep that a little bit under wraps.
We whispered that. Maybe nobody listened at that moment. Well, let's
and
go out.
I want to make sure that we get out there too, folks. If you don't have a ticket, don't worry. Show up 15 minutes before the concert starts. They'll open the doors to the non-ticket holders and allow them to find a seat at that point. So we'd love to see you. We'd love to see a packed house and hope you enjoy the show.
Well, and actually that's a very good point because tickets are free, but you do need to have one. But as you said, if you don't have one, you can probably get in anyhow.
Exactly.
And if you want more information, you can call 217-581-3110. And I'm not looking at your web address. What's the web address for more info on the band?
The easy one is just jazzambassadors.com.
That does make it a lot easier than the military address, probably.
Yes.
Thanks, Jeff, very much.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
We're going to go out with a tune from their CD called Jazz Ambassadors in Concert. You can actually download this tune and a lot of others on their website. This is called Bad Andy, and it's live and local on FM 90.9. Jazz Ambassadors from the U.S. Air Force, I'm sorry, the U.S. Army. Getting my two bands mixed up. U.S. Army Field Band. They're going to be at the Dowd and Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. And the reason I'm having a bit of a mix-up is that the U.S. Air Force Brass in Blue from the Heartland of America Band will also be at the Dowd and Fine Arts Center on Sunday at 7:30, both concerts in the Dvorak Concert Hall. And I'll be talking with their music director, Matt Erickson, in just a few minutes here on Live and Local to complete this military edition, it seems, of the show. Our program today is made possible with support from the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra presenting New Worlds on Saturday, April 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in the Follinger Great Hall at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Korean violinist and protege of Itzhak Perlman, Han Bin, joins the symphony for two virtuosic pieces.
Thank you.
We just heard Spirit of Brass Fanfare is the name of the tune by somebody whose last name is Crespo. I'll get details about that in a minute from our guest on this portion of Live and Local, who is with the Brass in Blue, an offshoot of the U.S. Air Force Heartland of America Band. They're going to be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center on the Eastern Illinois University campus in Charleston Sunday evening at 7:30. And this is Military Band Day here on Live and Local. And my guest on this portion of the show is Staff Sergeant Matthew C. Erickson, who is non-commissioned officer in charge and music director of Brass in Blue. And like Jeff Adams of the Jazz Ambassadors, who we just got off the phone with, he is also a trombonist in that band. So this also is Trombone Day, Matt.
You bet. Well, it's a good thing when trombone players can start taking over the airwaves.
Oh, it is, huh? So I need to look out here then?
Exactly. You might want to call in a National Guard warning. So.
And do you have anything to do with any connection to the National Guard?
No, not at all. Just, you know, for the safety of all the listeners, so to speak.
Okay, well, I'll let them know that you issued the call, and then I'm absolved.
Great.
So tell me about the Heartland of America Band.
Well, thanks again for having us, for having me on here, Kevin. It's a delight. We're really looking forward to our concert on Sunday. Pretty much what the group that's coming out is a 12-piece brass ensemble. It's a member, like you said, a member of the Heartland of America Band. We have a 45-piece unit back here at Omaha, Nebraska, just south of the metro area. And we cover 8 states, going as far north as Minnesota, and then down into Kansas and Nebraska, the 2 Dakotas, and then out west to Montana and Wyoming. We cover 8 states, totaling almost 750,000 square miles. So it's quite a large touring area, and we usually are on the road about 80 days out of the year. It's a pretty grueling schedule, but we enjoy performing our music for the people, and we're really looking, like I said, looking forward to our performance on Sunday evening. It's a very special gig for us. We were actually invited to Eastern Illinois to perform, and Jemmy Robertson, the trombone professor there, was the instigator of all of this. But we're actually performing a piece with him as the trombone soloist, and we're also going to include on the second half 5 pieces with different students and faculty members from Eastern Illinois University. So a really unique opportunity for us to not only perform our music but feature the talent of the local area college students.
Jeff Adams in our conversation was talking about the difference between, I guess, what's called the special bands versus the line bands.
That's an Army term. Yep, I'm.
Oh, that's
that.
Exclusively
yep.
Army term.
Well, there's military. There's a lot of terms that overlap, and with the Air Force bands, we have what we call a premier band, which is out in Washington D.C., which is very similar to the band that Jeff is in, the Jazz Ambassadors. In the Air Force, we have what we call regional bands, the ones that go out and tour in different regions of the country, and that's what we are in, what we would qualify as a regional band.
So that's sort of your equivalent to their line band.
Correct. That's correct, yeah.
Okay, and so he was telling us about the process of his process of getting into the Jazz Ambassadors. How does one go about getting into a regional band and then...
Well, it's very similar, and it's almost a parallel audition process. We, for myself, a prime example, I'm very typical of this situation, is most of us, actually all of us in the group, have music degrees, whether it's education or performance. And usually we seek out these military jobs because they offer a very stable lifestyle. And as a musician, a performing musician, jobs are often hard to come by. And so the audition process is you obviously make contact with the unit that you want to audition for, and you go through the rigorous, usually auditions take about an hour. They usually end up taking all day long, but you're performing for about an hour for different panels of people, performing in different ensembles, doing prepared pieces, doing sight reading, doing just being very, showing your flexibility, showing all the musical skills that you have. Once you win the job, if you're lucky enough to do it, when I auditioned for my position almost 11 years ago, I beat out 17 other trombone players for it. So it's a very, very sought after gig, and then you enlist in the military and you go through the basic training just like every other Air Force member, and then once we're done with that, then you're assigned to your musical unit and you become a touring musician. So,
and the the Brass in Blue is a new organization within the
That's
last
correct.
Few years.
Yep, it started in 2007 in response actually to a something that the Air Force had happened to them with. In 2007, they cut a lot of the bands by 25%. It's not something that we're very proud of, but something that had happened, just with reduction in force and needing Air Force needing to reallocate money not only to from personnel but also for new aircraft, new personnel, or new acquisitions. And we responded by going from a 60-member unit to a 45-member unit, and Brass in Blue spurned off of that because we took all of the We still have a concert band, a 45-piece unit that goes out and tours, but not as frequently. Brass in Blue has filled that role and filled it quite effectively. We actually are very high in demand, and our touring schedule is quite rigorous. So
everybody who's in Brass in Blue is in the main band.
That's correct. Yep, that is correct.
And you refer to yourselves, or at least I saw you referred to, as a symphonic brass ensemble. What does that term mean
well,
in this context?
In the musical world, there's a couple terms that really that ignite a thought process for musicians. And I'll go through them really quickly, but, you know, chamber music. You would think of that as like a small group or more intimate setting, going back to the European cultures. You know, chamber music happening in someone's home, in someone's parlor, living room. Also, symphonic is what you would think of as orchestral or maybe like a symphonic concert band. That's one term that we often, you'll read in our bio that we use quite frequently is symphonic and chamber, because we really straddled the lines between both of those genres, where we're able to produce a large, overwhelming sound, you know, very symphonic. We can fill up a 2,000-seat concert hall with just 10 brass players with plenty of sound, but we can also walk into a small auditorium and perform in a very intimate setting, more in chamber. So we're very flexible in that regard, and actually I'm very proud of the fact that we're one of the only military units that actually can do both of those missions, musical missions, with great effect.
And then you have something that, you have the military band, which of course what the Heartland America band is, and then you also have a brass band, which are two other terms.
Exactly. And that's, you know, we draw our literature from both the music, I mean, for example, on the concert that we'll perform at Eastern Illinois, we'll open up with the overture to Candide by Leonard Bernstein, and that was arranged from the orchestral work. But then we'll also turn on a dime, and then we'll perform a piece by Johann Sebastian Bach, which was originally written for keyboard. We will also perform music from the brass band, Jim Curnow brass band genre. And then we'll also do some jazz music that features one of our vocalists, Victoria Briette. She's an amazing vocal talent. She's just wonderful to listen to, and she'll blow away the audience with her style and with her grace. Then we also feature other soloists throughout the show. It's just we try to provide something for everybody, and like I said, I'm very proud of the way that we're able to broadcast the flexibility and the versatility of both the musical ensemble, but also the Air Force as a whole.
Since you mentioned orchestral transcriptions, mm-hmm. Let's hear one of those. This is kind of an interesting one of one of the Hungarian dances of Johannes Brahms. Who's the arranger here, and what has he done to the piece?
Yeah, well, this was done by a friend of mine. His name is Robert Elkier. He's an arranger out in San Francisco. He's a musical genius in my estimation. I've seen him perform live where he'll sit down at the piano with his left hand, play his bass lines, solo with his right hand on piano, and then pick up a trumpet, still playing his left hand on piano, and then improvise or play a melody on his trumpet with his right hand. So he's very ambidextrous musically, but also then his arrangements reflect that as well. This is a piece that that Brahms originally wrote for piano, and it's been transcribed out for brass. But in the middle of it there, you'll also hear a little bit of swing, a little bit of the versatility that I was describing.
Okay, the Hungarian's Dance Number 5 of Brahms with the Brass in Blue from the U.S. Air Force Heartland of America Band. They're going to be at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston Sunday night at 7:30, and you're hearing them on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. Hungarian Dance No. 5 of Brahms, arranged by, was it Robert Elkir?
That's correct, yes.
Who, and this piece played by the Heartland of America Band's Brass in Blue from the U.S. Air Force. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Staff Sergeant Matthew C. Erickson, who's the music director of Brass in Blue. They're going to be at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston this Saturday evening. And you're listed here as the non-commissioned officer in charge. Help educate me a little bit here. Jeff Adams earlier was helping with some of this, but what does it mean to be a non-commissioned versus commissioned officer, and then what is the officer in charge part?
Okay, so anything with the military, we always have to like. We always seem to like to have long, drawn-out explanations for a really simple job. Non-commissioned officer in charge is pretty much the boss. That's the easiest way to say it. Non-commissioned officer is a sergeant, and the only difference between a commissioned officer and a non-commissioned officer is just what it says in the title. Our officers, a lieutenant, major, captain, colonel, general, so on and so forth, all have their commissions through the armed forces. Non-commissioned officers just do not have them, but we still just kind of reflect their job descriptions and things like that. Then the in-charge part is pretty much the I deal with all the administrative parts of running an ensemble. And that's there's a lot that goes into taking a group like ours out on the road. There's transportation needs, there's lodging needs, sponsorship with different newspapers to be able to advertise for concerts. There's a lot of things that go into just making one concert happen, probably around 20 man-hours just to make one concert happen. And that's just the administrative side, let alone the musical side.
We'll talk about the musical side. What does the music director do in this case?
In my case, it's a little bit more specialized. Being a brass ensemble, there's not a lot of music written specifically for our group. Jazz ensembles like the Jazz Ambassadors have just a plethora of music to choose from, dating all the way back from the 1940s. Brass bands were popular over in the European cultures, usually based around factories, coal mines, things like that in Great Britain. And there's quite a following over there in the brass band world. But with us being a more specialized group, we need to arrange a lot of our music. So we, as a music director, I go ahead and program that music as what I want to put on concerts, seek out arrangers or do the arrangements myself, or have other gentlemen or ladies within the ensemble write the arrangement. And then rehearsing it, putting it all together, you know, putting the pieces of the musical show together, kind of like a big puzzle, and then just making sure that when we go out to perform, it's always of the highest quality. And that's my job, is to see it, to use another military term, to see the product from the cradle to the grave, you know, making sure that from the inception of the idea all the way to the listener is the most efficient and the most effective way of doing business, musically and also administratively.
You mentioned that term that I mentioned earlier, the brass band.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in reference to your group, which is more of kind of a symphonic brass section where you're going to have French horns, trombones, trumpets, mm-hmm. and you have a tuba also?
We also have a tuba and euphonium, and then we also carry a percussionist and a vocalist to round it out. So.
Okay, so maybe that is similar to what I was thinking of as the brass band that does have those additional instruments.
Yes.
So it's basically the same concept. Okay, I wanted to clear that up for myself.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jemmy Robertson, who is the trombone professor at Eastern Illinois University, and mm-hmm. he was the impetus for this particular gig. Was he somebody you knew before?
You know, Jemmy is always one that I've always actually read about. He's a very well-known trombone player in the trombone circle. In 1999, he finished his four-year tour of duty with one of the Air Force bands out in Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. And he had always been somebody I read about as just a fantastic player, a great person. And then I kind of followed his career as it progressed. He ended up going to Northwestern to get his doctorate in Chicago. And I saw that he was teaching in Illinois. We were on a tour last year to the Quad Cities, and he was actually nearby. A mutual friend put us in touch. Had dinner with him. Just wonderful gentleman, one heck of a trombone player. And the way it all worked out, he's going to actually perform two movements of a three-movement concerto that was written for Brass and Blue. And at the time, a guest soloist that we had in with us was Mr. Joseph Alessi, who's the principal trombone player for the New York Philharmonic. This piece was commissioned by us for Joe to be performed alongside Brass and Blue, and I thought it was a perfect vehicle for Jemmy to be featured with us. And so we're very excited. This will actually only be the fourth performance of the concerto. We performed it twice with Joe, and Joe has performed it once at the University of Georgia. So this will be the first performance of the solo part by someone not named Joe Alessi. We're very honored to have Jemmy join us, and it's really neat to have it come full circle with a former Air Force bandsman who's done so well for himself professionally and in the academic world as well.
And you're going to have a couple of other Eastern Illinois University faculty members involved in your program. Andrew Cheatham and Barry Howes are both going to conduct a piece each.
That's correct, yeah.
Is that kind of typical for exchanges that you'll do?
You know, part of our mission as Air Force bands is to fulfill a public relations role for the Air Force. And if you follow me through on this, it makes perfect sense. Not every day do you or any of your listeners or to the bulk of people get to see someone wearing a blue uniform, turning a wrench on an airplane, or maybe serving food in a chow hall line overseas. You know, they don't get to see those airmen do their jobs on a daily basis. When we bring our concerts to those communities, it's a chance for them to relate to those that have served, whether it be the veterans or those that are currently serving, to see that the Air Force is still working hard to protect their liberties and their freedoms. And we take great pride in providing that partnership or that link to the community. And by doing this with Jemme, with Dr. Cheatham, also Mr. Hauser, and also the students, we provide that crucial link to the communities and help make it a more personal experience, whether it's a concert that they remember, or maybe that they recall that maybe their uncle or their grandfather that served in the military and how proud of that service they were. You know, it's a very crucial and a needed thing in today's world, is to be reminded of how good we have it as Americans, not only as bandsmen or people that enjoy music, but also just as Americans, just to be reminded of the special link that we have to our military.
And it's going to be a treat for listeners to go hear Brass and Blue Sunday night at 7:30 at the Downa Fine Arts Center in Charleston. Tickets are free. You do need to have tickets, but I'm assuming that for this show, it's similar to what Jeff Adams described for the Jazz Ambassadors, who are going to be at Charleston tonight at 7:30, that if you don't actually have a ticket, there will be some released at the Fine Arts Center if you just want to go there the night of the performance. And for more information, you can go to 217 581-3110. And is that true about the tickets as
far
as you
correct.
Know?
That is correct, yeah. We never turn anyone away. And any time that we might have too many people show up, we'll just put them on stage with us, and we'll give them a horn to play even. So
I was going to ask that, yeah. Do they get to sit next to you? And
Some of the most memorable concerts I've had are the ones that are sold out. The fire marshals, thank goodness, weren't in town that night. But we've had them on stage with us, and I think those people that have sat on stage with us will attest that's the best seat in the house. So
maybe if the fire marshal comes in, you can invite them to sit next to you, too,
exactly.
And it'll all be okay.
You bet.
It's Matthew Erickson, who's music director of the Brass and Blue from the U.S. Air Force Heartland of America Band, and appreciate you joining us on the show.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's been our pleasure, and we're looking forward to performing there in Charleston.
And we'll go out with another transcription. This piece exists both for orchestra and for band, and now for brass band.
That's correct.
Morton Gould's American Salute. Brass and Blue from the U.S. Air Force Heritage of America Band. They're going to be at the Downtown Fine Arts Center in Charleston Sunday night at 7:30. You're listening to Live and Local. Here are some other events you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area. Tonight it's the Impalas playing blues at Emerald City Lounge in downtown Champaign. That's at 8 o'clock. Weasel Dreams play jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. Heartstrings, no, that show is over, sorry. The Chicago Farmer plays folk music at Diggers in Bloomington tonight at 8 o'clock. It's a program tomorrow night called Nothing But Treble, an evening of musical theater featuring women. The Eastern Illinois University Music Theater Opera Ensemble, that's at the Downtown Fine Arts Center in Charleston tomorrow night and Saturday night at 7:30. Also in Charleston, Charleston Alley Theater presents the show Present Laughter Friday through Sunday, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 1 o'clock. And on Saturday night, it's a concert by the Peoria Symphony Orchestra, the Peoria Civic Center, that is at 8 o'clock. And in Springfield, the Classical Guitar Society presents Stanley Yates at Faith Evangelical Lutheran Church on Saturday at 8 o'clock. Support for our show today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a selection of 10 wines from across the globe. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W293 AF Danville and W266 W-266 AF Urbana.